Good day, everyone. It's me, Steph Edsel, your therapy hostess for this podcast, DBT Weekly. The flowchart in emotion regulation handout number 9 is helpful if you're able to take a look at that. It's designed to help you figure out when to practice opposite action and when to practice problem solving. For both skills, you must check the facts first. So first on the flowchart, you want to see, does this emotion and its intensity fit the facts? If yes, the emotion fits the facts. I'm saying, does it match the definition of the emotion? If it does, then ask yourself, is acting on this emotion effective? Going further down the chart, if yes, the emotion fits the facts, and yes, acting on this emotion is effective, then you'll want to be mindful of current emotions. Suppressing or avoiding emotions you do not want is rarely useful. And positive emotions are to be enjoyed. The example given in our binders, when you are afraid your 3-year-old child or maybe your beloved pet may be hit by a car as they run into street traffic, experience the fear. Don't try to suppress it, or you may not run out and bring your child back to the curb. Another example, when you are in love with a truly wonderful person, enjoy and revel in it. So if yes, it fits the facts, and yes, it's effective, then act on your emotions and follow your urges. Think about it. If you're afraid of walking down a very dangerous alley, avoid it. When you're ashamed about events in your past that would likely result in social rejection if others knew about them, keep them private. Makes sense, right? Now it's time to engage in problem solving. An example, when anxiety about money fits the facts because you're having trouble paying your bills, use problem solving to create a budget and work on ways to cut spending or bring more money in. Kind of like the example I gave last episode about trying to figure out my housing and finances a long time ago. Now, what about if yes, our emotion does fit the facts, but acting on it is not effective? It's time to consider opposite action. When a car cuts you off, you get angry and have the urge to speed up and do the same thing. While anger fits the facts, but cutting off the other car is unlikely to be effective, opposite action is to slow down and accept that some drivers cut people off. Plain and simple. Or, what if you have applied for a lot of jobs but haven't gotten any offers? You find a job opening you could apply for that is just the job you're hoping for, but you're afraid to apply for it because you think you might not get it. Acting on your fear and not applying will not be effective. Opposite action is to get your courage up and apply for that job. Going on, remember that if no, the emotion doesn't fit the facts, and no, acting on them is not effective, then you guessed it. Do not act on that emotion. You'll need to change your thoughts to fit the facts. This is the easiest way to change your emotions. When it works, nothing else is needed. This is a concept adopted from cognitive behavior therapy. Do opposite action, because at times, even knowing the facts does not change emotions. In these instances, change your behavior to change your emotions will be more effective. Ever heard the saying, if you fall off a horse, get back on? Or did any of you struggle learning to ride a bike? And your parent or older sibling encouraged you not to give up? Get back up on that bike and try again. Ha! You used opposite action and didn't even know it. How cool is that? What about in the instance that no emotion does not fit the facts, but yes, acting on the emotion is effective? Be mindful of current emotions, and effectiveness depends on your goals. At times, an emotion is viewed as effective simply because it makes you feel good to experience the emotions. After acting on an unjustified emotion, you get to gracefully accept the consequences. Woohoo! Fun stuff, huh? Once you decide that an emotion doesn't fit the facts, is effective for your own goals, then it is important to remember that you may not like the consequences of acting on the emotion. Here's an example. If you like acting on anger because it makes you feel good, then you may need to accept the consequence that it may put a strain on a relationship you value. Learning to be accountable with our behavior and emotions is part of emotional intelligence. Remember, we generally look for the short-term solution, and that can mean acting on an emotion that isn't justified, and then wondering why we have no friends. I mean, not to sound too harsh, but really take a good look at your emotional responses and if they are actually justified or not, and when acting on one that isn't justified is really the answer. Being right and being effective, which do you want? We've gone over emotional dysregulation, I believe. It literally means when emotions are out of control, and despite your best efforts, you can't change which emotions you have, when you have them, or how you experience or express them. This is also called the Sea of Emotional Discontrol by Marsha Linehan, our founding and fearless leader. While we may not be able to control how sensitive we are or how high of an emotional response we have, we learn to have control in the third area of emotional vulnerability, which is the return to baseline. Without skills, it takes a long time. With DBT, the hope is that you are able to control that part. One thing we can also do is reduce vulnerabilities to emotion mind. Emotional distress and pain can be reduced by decreasing factors that make us vulnerable to negative emotions and moods. Reducing vulnerability is about how to build your life so that you become less sensitive and vulnerable to painful emotions. Accumulating positive events in your life and practicing the other skills will help increase your resilience and ability to bounce back from painful situations. This week, focus on checking facts again. If you have the workbook, it's Emotion Regulation Worksheet 5, Worksheet 6, 7, and 8 to help you decide which skill to use after having checked the facts. Okay, everyone, I have some super radical news. A wonderful human reached out to me and asked if she could help with transcribing. And I said yes! So I would like to give a special shout out to Marissa, my DBT homegirl. I'm so pleased to have the support, and I appreciate all my listeners' support and patience out there. I can't thank you enough. In the coming weeks, a plan will be devised on how to share these transcripts with you all. In the meantime, practice what you have been taught. Buy a workbook. I'll post a link on the DBT Facebook page. You can always reach me at uofudbt@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or concerns. Thanks again, everyone. Next time, we get to talk about some of my personal favorites, ABC Please skills. A is for accumulate positive events. B is for building mastery, and C is for cope ahead. Please skills are about balancing the body with proper sleep, food, exercise, and self-care in the way of avoiding mood-altering substances and taking care of physical illness. I sure hope you will all join me for that episode, and until then, have an effective week. Thanks for listening.